Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everybody on their feet and quiet. Snap. Kick by Goff. Yes, good.
There was a lot of that for a very long time with the Bears. That's why he's the Bears' all-time points leader. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Pleased to be joined by a man who made his name here in Chicago, and he's currently a free agent. We're talking about the Bears' all-time points leader, Robbie Gould, who spent the last couple of seasons with the San Francisco 49ers. He may be back there, might not, maybe he be here. I don't know. I have no idea where he's going to be going forward, but I do know this. Robbie Gould attended the Bears' playoff game against the Eagles, and just as a fan, because he lives here in Chicago. So the question I have for you,
Robbie. Did you know two cups of coffee might help relieve your winter?
This is what I really want to know. From the time of the double doink, how quickly did your phone start buzzing?
Well, first, it's always great to hear familiar voices. thanks for having me on the show. It's been a while. But secondly, you know, it kind of happened right away, and that's just kind of how it is, right, with social media, with your buddies calling you. I was at the game as a fan, and my wife and my kids, I want them to be raised as Bear fans. Obviously, it's an organization that did a lot for me, and, you know, I think my kids growing up in the city of Chicago, I want them to be Chicago sports fans. So, you know, it was different. You know, it was the first game I've ever really been to in Soldier Field as a fan, and, you know, it was kind of unique because it was the first ever game I got to take my kids to in the National Football League. So that was a big part of the reason why I went, as well as usually when I'm not in the playoffs after a couple of years, I've always looked to go to a game just to be in the atmosphere to make sure that the next time that I go, it's not a, oh, I remember what this felt like, you know. So a few years ago, it was my brother in Denver when they made the Super Bowl run and won the Super Bowl in San Francisco with Levi Stadium. And then, you know, earlier in my career, I was going to a Cowboys Giants game, and there's always just been something that I've tried to do to just keep myself, ready and mentally prepared for that moment. But as far as, you know, the phone calls and the people, it's, you know, I appreciate the fans here. I appreciate my buddies. But I definitely feel for Cody Parkey and kind of when he went through, and as a fellow kicker, you don't ever want that to happen. And it's tough to watch him go through it for sure.
Hey, Robbie, you've been a successful kicker in two of the most questionable kicking surfaces in the NFL, outdoors at Soldier Field and the Santa Clara Stadium in San Francisco. Which one is more difficult, and how do you get kicking confidence on a surface that's questionable each week?
Well, you know, I think the big part about how do you get comfortable with it is just you practice in it, right? So, you know, and San Francisco, our fields, we only have two fields, and we move them kind of around. We have training camp there, so they get beat up a little bit, and then they resod them. I would tell you that the guys at both Chicago Soldier Field and Levi Stadium do a great job of managing. You know, they have multiple events there, and you don't really know that or see that as a young guy, but being in Levi Stadium where they have concerts and they have monster truck rallies, they have every bowl game you can think of with every rugby and everything else. You know, it's something you just got to get accustomed to, and you can either sit there and complain about it and worry about it, or, you know, you can make a difference. And, you know, when we practiced in Chicago, we only had one field, right? So there was only one heated field. So when it snowed like days like today, you didn't really have a choice, and that field got beat up, and, you know, it was just part of what you would go through, right? So I would tell you that in the business of the National Football League, you know, a lot of fields have multiple teams playing on it, or they have multiple events either being owned by the city that they're in and or by the ownership groups that built the stadium. So obviously they're looking for that revenue. As players, you want to have that revenue as well to help the cap. And you know, those are moments that you kind of have to live for. I'd tell you that the wind is probably more difficult in San Jose area just because of how the stadium's built. And it's not as constant as it is here in Chicago.
All right, question two. So I heard during the off season that you used to go to the Arena League Stadium and kick in those goalposts. If it's true, was it helpful for you?
Yeah, you know what? When I started in New England, Coach Seeley had the small uprights, and we always kicked on those until the field goal period. So it was just one of those trainers that we had to always work on hitting the middle third of the upright, right? And then Dave Tobe came in, and we didn't get the post. We got a big dot that he made, and we put it up on the kicking net. So, again, trying to hit the dot in the middle third of the upright. So I think those are things that when I got into the offseason, there's not a lot of places here for me to kick. The relationship I have with the Chicago Rush and Coach Ho and Pat Nagel at the Allstate Arena, you know, it was nice to be able to go in there and kick on a smaller upright just as a training aid. And I think those are things that have helped me for sure. But also, you know, I don't have the biggest leg in the National Football League, and things that I have to do is I have to make field goals, you know, and in order for me to continue to keep my job. And that's not to say that I have the worst leg in the National Football League, but I do know that I'm not Sebastian Janikowski or Justin Tucker from a leg perspective, but, you know, I have to make kicks, and that's what I pride myself on doing.
Hey, we're here, Robbie Gould, former kicker of the Chicago Bears, now with the San Francisco 49ers, but he's also a free agent, so he's a little bit of everything. Robbie, with the experiences you've been through in your life, can kickers kick all year round? Like, could you go to the AAF and kick during this season and then get reintroduced to OTAs, training camp, and still go about your business? Or is there a period of time that kickers, punters, snappers, everybody needs a period of time where you just lay off your leg?
Well, you know, it's different for everybody, right? I think the older you get, you kind of need a little time away from the game. In the last two off seasons, I haven't touched a football until April, which is completely different than what I've done in the past. I just really focused on my strength training and physical health, and then I started worrying about my kicking health and this small routine of kicking 35, 37-yard in field goals for 2 or 3 weeks, get into OTAs and hit 42 and in, right? So I think the guys that you're seeing in the AAFF leagues and now soon to be the XFL leagues, these guys, you know, the nice thing is they can manage their body because they're not kicking off, which, you know, I wish they would give them that opportunity. I understand why they're not doing it for injury prevention and checking the data for is this something that speeds up games? And
I don't like it.
And all that. You know, the only thing I would say that I don't like geared towards it is this league is geared towards the bottom third of your roster, right? So you'd want to give all those kids an opportunity to be seen on special teams because that's how they're going to make an NFL roster.
Right, but teams in college are deteriorating, Robbie, because there's so many fair catches on kickoffs and they're taking that element out of it. So I don't want to interrupt you. Counterpoint.
When we do this, you know, from a scouting perspective, I'm sure they're going to want to see what these guys can do, not only just as a receiver or a linebacker, but, you know, you want to see what they can do as a kickoff return guy or as a front line player on kickoff return, right? Maybe they have some special talents that would make them just a special teams player on a team, and we keep guys on our teams and the teams I've been on because they play special teams. So I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to collect some data to see if it speeds up the game, see what the fan experience would be. And it makes sense for sure. I just feel bad for the guys not getting that opportunity.
Robbie Gould is our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So it's been a busy offseason for you because you were in the running for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. So you've been out and about. I saw you at the Super Bowl, part of that mix. You've done a lot of interviews. A lot of people have talked to you. You're very active on social media at RobbieGould09. So I know that fans constantly interact with you, and you know the question I'm about to ask because I'm sure it's been the most popular question that you've gotten over the course of the offseason. Is it realistic to come home again?
I can't answer that question. You know, that's what I tell people. You know, it's really out of my control at this point. You know, I think I have only the exclusive rights to talk to the San Francisco 49ers right now. And they're the only team that can really get a deal done with me before free agency. And then free agency opens up, I think, March 11th or something like that. So, you know, and then you just field phone calls and you figure it out. You know, I've been through this before a couple of years ago, and when that March 11th deadline opens up and hits, and, you know, the no tampering period window opens, it's kind of a free-for-all, and you're trying to make decisions that are best for the family, and you're trying to make decisions that, you know, kind of fits where you want to go for the next part of your career. And I would tell you that, you know, Cody's obviously the kicker for the Chicago Bears, you know what I mean? So they have a lot of things that they'd have to do in order for it to work. And those are all things that you never know what's going to happen, right? So, you know, we're all ears if we get to that March 11th time, and we'll take it in stride, and we definitely consider all opportunities when we get to that free agent part. For sure.
I remember that stunning night when the Bears cut you, and it was unexpected. I think it took the city by shock. It took you by shock. Now, this is a crazy question, but are you a better kicker today than you were when they let you go?
For sure. I think I'm a more mature kicker. I think having been able to see different places, get into places where I could just focus on football specifically, you know, when you get in an organization and you're there for a long time, you ingrain yourself in the culture, right? And you do all the appearances, you do all the community relations stuff, you try to make a difference. And, you know, these are obviously the McCaskey family is a family that I hold in high regard, and, you know, you try to help them in any way possible, right? So sometimes when you're at one place for a long time, you know, you kind of get distracted. And, you know, you get worn down a little bit, but at the end of the day, like, you still have a job and you still have to perform, right? So I think from knowing kind of how I did it for 11 years, going into a couple different organizations in different cities with different weather, and being able now for 2 years in San Francisco and ingrain myself in a culture that is based around community service, it's based around giving back, it's based around winning football games, and you know, I think those are things that I've been able to manage a lot better with now three kids and, you know, a wife and helping her on my off days or at nights when I get home. And, you know, it's just a balance of life, right? And I think I've really found a rhythm of how to balance each of those buckets. And it's definitely paid off. And listen, I've had great teammates over the years. I've had awesome snappers, awesome holders, awesome linemen, and, you know, you don't get to where you're at today without a lot of help from them and coaches.
You're as competitive as they come. Was it hard not being bitter and getting the right perspective after you were let go?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, the perspective was at some point it was going to end, right? I mean, it's just the business of football. I mean, you know, I made a decision to kind of move on from the New York Giants to go into warm weather to be a San Francisco 49er. And I think that it might extend my career. You know, it ends up being a decision that, you know, a 2 year stretch, I've never kicked like I've kicked in the last 2 years. Right. So, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with just kind of being in the moment. Right. And understanding, like, this is a business. And at the end of the day, it's a business for everybody, you know? And you just have to kind of roll with the punches. You know, I think I wish I would have got the chance to say goodbye to everybody. I got cut at like 9:30 at night on Sunday before the season started. But the reality is it didn't happen, right? And I didn't get that chance. So I spent most of those first couple of days of being cut calling everybody and thanking them and telling them if they ever need anything, I'll be here. I mean, these guys, just like every other organization I've been a part of, I have great relationships. But those continue outside of football. And, you know, it's just part of the business.
You know, Robbie, when you think about the San Francisco locker room last year and everything you guys face, whenever you have double digits next to your name in terms of years of service in the NFL, you have to accept the leadership role and maybe some conversations with young guys. How did you guys keep that locker room together? Because, you know, at the end of the season – for the hard times you went through, it was still a well-respected team that looks like it has a bright future.
Well, I think the first thing you look at is the type of guys that are in the locker room, right? Are these guys willing to work? Are they willing to put in extra effort? Even though we're not winning football games because either we're making some mistakes or some things just didn't happen or we just didn't play as good of football as we should have, you know, I think guys being so young, it gave them some maturity, right? And gave them some understanding of like, hey, it's not easy to win in the National Football League. And then you go in the locker room with guys like Jimmy G and Joe Staley and the Garrett Selleck's, the DeForest Buckner, some older guys that have been around a little bit to be able to help guys through it, right? So some of these guys haven't had a winning season since they got drafted for the 49ers, right? So there's also some of this learning how to win, right? And I think the organization has put some pieces together in key spots to give us a chance to grow down the stretch in certain aspects of the game. And I think it gave them a great chance to evaluate the talent that they have, whether they draft them, whether they're free agents, and they can start putting a plan together of moving forward and hopefully winning more football games.
I think one of the things that amazed me about Robbie Gould when he was with the Bears and I was on the sidelines is he was...
How much he talked to you?
Yeah, he was never afraid. Even a big moment, he would be moments away from having to go on the field and kick a game winner. Everyone stays away from the kicker.
Well, the
in those
worst
situations.
Thing you want to do is to see a big kick coming up and then Robbie start tensing up. I mean, that's...
No, but they start they treat kickers in those situations the way, you know, a baseball dugout treats a pitcher pitching a no-hitter. Like, they all get away from him. So Robbie would come and just start talking to me. Hey, do you think I'm going to make this kick? Like, what do you want me to say? You know, but
I was looking for a nice quote or something. I could use in a post-game interview with you, but geez, you never gave me anything to use.
How did you stay so calm? And you still do in those moments. Were you always that way, or did you have to train yourself using psychological exercises to get to that point?
No, you know, I'm always a loose guy, right? So, you know, I'm serious when I have to kick, right? I know the moments that I have to focus, and I kind of turn it on and off as the game goes on. But the more worried, the more high tense, the more stress I put on myself, I noticed that something that towards the end of my career in Chicago is, you know, I started to become a different kicker. My footwork was different. My tempo was different. My timing was different. And for me, I just said, you know what, I'm going to start enjoying this. You know, it's not going to last forever. And, you know, I've always kind of been that way on game-winning kicks. I'm loose. Then I go out there to line up, and I talk to myself, give me a little positive reinforcement. I'll never forget the first time we had a game-winning or go-ahead kick, and it was our first preseason game in Kansas City to go up 2 scores. And I'm talking to myself, and my holder, Bradley Pinney, is like, hey, what'd you say, dude? I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll tell you later. So, you know, these like he's like, what is this guy? A new kicker coming in, talking to himself, getting ready for a kick. It's just something that's been successful that I've learned kind of throughout the years.
Did Patrick snap you every one of your kicks? I know he was injured for a year or something, but did he throw you most of your kicks?
Yeah, so I had Pat for every game except for the year they tore his ACL.
Right. That's got to give you a great feeling having a guy like Patrick.
Yeah, and for some reason, he always liked to get hurt in preseason to miss those nice preseason games.
He had to be at TJ's first.
Probably, yeah. Feeling hands, you know, long hair. He's probably trying to find some hair product.
Oh, boy. And the other thing, by the way, you, and you saw this, not to compare you to Cody Parkey, but, you know, the first kick was good, then a timeout was called, and he had to re-kick. You used to relish those timeouts. They did not freeze you. You wanted the opponent to try and freeze you with a timeout.
Yeah, everyone's different. You know, something that I kind of, it's interesting. Like, I love football. I love watching it. I mean, I'm watching the two AAF games today. You know, there's guys, you know, I probably play with half the rosters. That's how old I am. But, you know, at the end of the day, I enjoy watching football. I love learning situations that maybe will help you be successful in games. And, you know, the interesting part of what I learned about that game is listening to Doug Peterson, who I met out in Lake Tahoe, is analytics plays a huge part in the football now, right? So they did a study on Cody and about timeouts, no timeouts, and they had a gut and they went with it. And, you know, that's the next team or whatever ends up happening, whatever I go, that's something that I'm going to mention to our special teams coaches, is that situationally we should do a study on what they do before and or after timeouts. before the halves or at the end of the game, because, you know, maybe it is something like you call a timeout and the offensive lineman relaxes. Throughout the history of that guy's coordinator's job, that's just something that keeps popping up, right? So you look for trends, you look for things to happen, and it worked for them. And, you know, they were lucky enough to go play the next week. And they fell a little short, obviously, in New Orleans, but they got a chance to play one more game, give themselves a chance to win a Super Bowl, potentially.
All right, as we say goodbye, you've had the busy offseason with all the charitable work. When you look at what's in store for you next year, when you start to make the decision of where you're going to be, when other teams can start communicating with you, and you may stay in San Francisco, we don't know. When we look back, what are going to be the key things that you have to check off before you make that decision?
Well, my family is the most important thing, right? Obviously, you know, my kids are older. They're 5, 3, and 14 weeks old. So I have some kids that are in school. They can be transient for sure. Obviously, a long-term contract is something that I would like to have. And then I think it comes down to I want to win, right? And I want to find the best place for me to give myself the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. So there's a handful of things that I'll look into, and we'll make that decision. And, you know, I've made calculated decisions kind of my whole career, and I'm going to do the same thing whenever this decision that we have to make comes up. And, you know, a nice part about it is Chicago's home. I'm sitting here in snow, getting to go to Home Depot, pick out a thermostat from my upstairs that's broke so my kids can have some heat. And, you know, I don't have to worry about it for now.
Hey, Robbie, how old are you and what's long term?
I'm 36 and at least 3 years.
Okay.
But, you know, the thing for me is, you know, it's going to be the best place to win, the best place for my family. And, you know, obviously that opportunity will come up and we'll make those decisions. It's kind of a fluid process. It's really interesting. You know, everyone talks about how incredible free agency is and getting there. Yeah, it's awesome for sure, but it's also nerve-wracking because you have to make decisions like very quickly because teams want a decision right away. You're trying to get a deal done. And then they have to move on to the next guy if you don't do it. So they don't want to lose out either. So, you know, March 11th will probably be pretty stressful, but at the end of the day, like, it's a good problem to have, right? So for my family, we're just enjoying the Chicago area, and we're getting ready to go to a Blackhawks game with one of my buddies, Dave Hochberg, and on Sunday, and my kids get to enjoy all the Cubs games this summer, and, you know, that's pretty special.
So Chicago will always be the home base?
Always. I'm building a house here, and I'll be done in a couple months, and Chicago's full-time home.
Well, you'll always be a Bear anyways, Robbie Gold.
Once a Bear, always a Bear, Tommy.
That's right, buddy.
Robbie, thank you so much. Good luck this offseason.
Thanks, guys.
Adios.
See ya.
Robbie Gold spending some time with us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.